because I'd gotten yet another rejection for a job, and I was just so desperate. And I remember that night I hit my knees. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know that you're here. Mm. And I just started to say, help me. And I said, God, help me. God, help me. And that was all I could say.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long I was there. I don't know how long I cried. I know that I fell asleep on the ground because I woke up. And if you've ever cried so hard that you're just exhausted, mm-hmm. but you still feel like you need to, but you can't because there's no more tears to
right,
cry.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was happening. And I just, but that moment, like, I just felt so much peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, it sounds crazy, but I literally felt like him holding me.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we're joined by Ashley Beasley, mom and owner of Sweet Indulgence Bakery. Ashley, thanks for joining us. Tell us about yourself and your family.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I don't know how far back you want to start. We'll start with current. So right now I have four children. I have a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Ooh, life is busy.
Yes. So we're actually a blended family. So we have the two older are from a prior marriage. Mm-hmm. The third child is a what I call my bonus son, then our daughter is our baby.
Gotcha.
So yeah, we are very busy because all four have activities, all mm-hmm. four different personalities.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, so it keeps us busy. My husband is actually military, so he's currently deployed. He has been for like the last 18 months.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
so you've got four, and you're by yourself.
Yeah. Now I will say my bonus son, he actually lives with his mom. So but we do get to see him on the weekends and stuff. So it's really fun to see him.
And
not miss out on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we do have a busy life. So because on top of that, you know, like you said, I own a bakery.
Exactly.
Which is amazing, by the way. Just a little shout out.
Thank you. Sweet Indulgence Bakery, yes. Go there, get treats, Forest Farmers Market, all the good places. Yes.
Yeah. So, and actually that's probably with the bakery, it's not your normal bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does require a little bit more of my time on and off the clock and a lot more involvement from me. So it can keep me pretty busy. But before that, I mean, I'm a military veteran. I served in the Navy.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm a domestic violence survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived 8 years in a domestic situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really dark time. But looking back, I'm not quite in a place of healing where if God ever gave me the opportunity where I'm like, no, never again. But I am at that place where I can acknowledge that if God hadn't walked me through that, because I got in that situation by my own choices.
Mm-hmm.
But if God hadn't walked me through that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Right, yeah.
And we wouldn't have the kind of company that we have today. And we wouldn't be making the difference that we're making today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
speaking of company, what made you like want to become a baker and start a bakery?
Actually, it's funny. I just had this conversation the other day with somebody because they asked me the same thing.
Yeah.
So I grew up always baking. I was the baker in the family among my friends and family. My grandma taught me to bake.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I actually learned to bake at her table. And actually, Brittany, I think you've been in our shop. So you've seen that table that's in the shop is my grandma's table.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet.
That's the table that I learned to bake at. So it's got a lot of sentiment of ice. It's really cool,
sure.
Even now, like full circle, my staff sitting at that table. We have our Christmas parties at that table. We have our meetings at that table. We eat at that table.
I love it. Legacy.
So, yeah,
that's
grandma
awesome.
Would love that.
Yes, for sure.
But then as I got into adulthood, I went to the Navy and then got out of the Navy. And the first job I could get was a Walmart cake decorator. And at the time, I was with my ex-husband, who was currently stationed in a different state.
Mm.
But then when I worked there for about 6 months before he came and picked me up and we went to where he was at. And then from there, it got a little bit different. I started to bake in home just because it was an outlet. I wasn't allowed to work outside the home.
Mm.
And so I started to bake and then people started to want to buy my stuff. So I was like, okay. So I started selling it and he had put parameters on it. I had to make a certain amount of money each week, but I wasn't allowed to work more than a certain number of hours each week because I still had the kids, I still had the housework, I still had everything else that was expected. I don't know how I did it, but I managed to do it because they were pretty impossible parameters.
Like,
because he wanted like the amount of money he wanted would take like 60, 80 hours, but I wasn't allowed to work more than like 30 or 40.
Right.
Because I still had everything else to do.
Yeah.
And so it was a really interesting part, but I just kind of stuck with it. And then when I started to realize that I was in that situation and I left him. I actually closed the business down before leaving him because in Maryland, you have to give 50% of the profits for the lifetime of the business to your spouse in a divorce. So I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Nope.
And so I closed the business down. I ended like the whole business license and everything. I closed it all down and then opened it up a year later after I left him. I reopened. But I kind of stayed. When I left him, I went to a catering company and who took me under their wing. I was just a part-time cake filler, nothing fancy. Mm-hmm. They overbooked a weekend and they're like, hey, can you do this? And I was like, yeah, I can do it. And it was a Taj Mahal cake. And so I was like, yeah, I can do that. And so
she's like, no problem.
Yeah. But it really gave me a chance to shine because I'd only been there for 6 months. And I knew I was capable, more capable than doing just part-time cake filling.
Right. Yeah.
But I was just so grateful for a job at that point in time because up to that point, I had been jobless for like 8 months. Mm-hmm. I could not find a job. And so having that job, I was just so grateful and I was willing to do anything.
Yeah.
But I did the cake. They loved it. The clients loved it. And that 2 weeks later, I got a promotion to an executive sous. And
that's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Really exciting. And so my chef took me under his wing at that time and taught me the world of pastry. And I fell in love with the world of pastry.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it is still a passion of mine to this day. And I still keep in touch with him. He's my mentor,
cool.
And he actually was invited to my wedding. And like,
I love that.
Yeah, it's a really great relationship. I still keep tabs on him and his wife and his son. And it's wild to think that, you know, gosh, that was 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah, I left back in 2015, October of 2015, and I was homeless for a year with my two kids.
Wow.
And so, which is really crazy because at the time they were 3 and 5. So they were super young.
Yeah.
And to live in my car in Baltimore, of all places, it was scary.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was, you want to talk about a dark time? It was really dark.
Yeah.
But anyways, all through that, it was, and then I started to, from there, I went on to the Augusta National Golf Course, where I was contracted as a pastry supervisor.
Cool.
That was a really cool experience.
I was going to say, that's no small gig. Like,
no, it's not.
It's a big deal.
I got to work with a lot of famous chefs and actually shake hands with famous chefs and learn things from people and chefs from all over the world.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jose Andreas.
Yes.
Yeah, I worked with him. I've met him.
What?
I have pictures
that's
with
awesome.
Him. Yeah, it was just, it was such a humbling experience to be like just me. And then was an executive chef at a bakery called Amphora in Northern Virginia. And then it wasn't the greatest place to be. And so I left and opened my own space again. And then it was because at this time I'd already been doing my thing on the side at home.
Mm-hmm.
But now we opened up the brick and mortar up in Northern Virginia. Husband got a job down here. We came down here and opened up down here.
Okay.
And it was at that time that God really had called me into what our current mission is. Because before that, it was just something where that was the only piece of me at that time that I knew was real. Like when I left, I had to figure out who I was because for 8 years, I had someone telling me who I was and none of it was true.
Right.
But the one piece of me that I never let him take from me was my love for baking.
Yeah.
And so I knew that was true. And so I clung to that. I clung to that and to my faith. And I just kind of walked every day and just my relationship with God became so intimate during that time, too. And there were times where, you know, it got so dark. And I didn't know how and I didn't know when, but I knew God was there and I knew he would get me through it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that would look like. I had no idea what it would look like this.
Right.
I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been happy with just like a nice husband and like a good job or whatever.
Right.
Like, but to have something to be impactful and to actually make a difference. And it's very fulfilling.
Yeah. So what is the mission for people who don't know of Sweet Indulgence Bakery?
So our mission, we actually employ trauma survivors. And so it is not limited to, and it is women trauma survivors. So, but it is not limited to just domestic violence. We also employ women who are survivors of sexual assault and human trafficking. And we are partnered with lots of nonprofits in the area who help us support and even find sometimes our survivors that come in. And we have, our whole space is built on psychology. And it's not really a space for like young students because they still require a structure that we just don't have.
Yeah. Right.
I'm a very casual boss. One, because I don't have time to micromanage a bunch of people.
Right.
I've got four kids.
Yep.
You know, I have a husband and four kids and the business itself to run. I don't have time to micromanage people.
Right.
But I also, speaking from experience, you know, it was one of the things that we have in our space is flexible scheduling. Mm-hmm. So our girls get their production schedule the week before for the next week, and they get to decide what days they're coming in, what hours they're giving.
Wow.
It's completely flexible for them. And I don't care when they do it. They want to work at midnight, they can do that, whatever. It's just as long as it's done by the deadline. Couldn't care less.
Right.
You do you.
Awesome.
And the point of that is to give them a positive control over their life. Because when you give a survivor positive control, they're less likely to go into negative controls like drugs or alcohol. Another really cool feature that we have is a kid's room. So and I love that kid's room. I've utilized that kid's room all summer long.
I've utilized that kid's room when I came to pick up my daughter's cake last year. She played in that kid's room and then didn't want to leave. So that is such a great feature that you guys
it
have.
It is. And it's just, and our staff love it. And but the whole point of that is to lessen the burden between parenting and providing, because as a single parent, there were so many times I was stuck like, okay, school's out. Do I hire a sitter and all my paycheck go to the sitter?
Yep.
Or do I stay home and not pay the sitter, but then I don't get paid? So either way, I have no money for groceries.
Right.
Yep. And then because I was so financially stressed out, I had less patience for my children.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to nurture them the way that, because they were also healing.
Mm-hmm.
They were pulled out of the situation too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so It wasn't like it was all about me, but I just didn't have the capacity emotionally or physically or mentally to be there and nurture them and support them the way that they needed to be supported because I was so stressed out. And so the whole point of that kids room is to lessen that burden so that these parents can love on their children the way that their children need. And and our rule there is like, if your child's freaking out, clock out. Take the time to go sit with them. If it takes 10 minutes, great. If it takes an hour, whatever. Your work will be there, because the alternative is to allow them to scream so they get more stressed out. Now you're trying to rush your task and not doing it incorrectly because you're just trying to rush and you're stressed out. And by the time you get over there, you're frustrated and neither of you are being served.
Yeah. Right.
So if you just take the time, take a breath, be with your child, and they all get to utilize my office, because some of them just need a quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff and the office door always stays open, but if the door's closed, then you don't knock. You leave them alone. If my staff go in there and shut the door, I'll watch my phone and watch the timer. And after about 10 minutes, I'll go in and check and just say, like, knock on those, like, hey, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some perks. And then also, they have mental health days too that they can take.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask for them. I don't ask what's wrong. If they say, hey, like, I just can't today. Okay, are you okay? Are you safe? And that's the only question I'm going to ask.
Yeah, right.
If they want to share, that's great. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I never ask, because I remember being in that position too. And sometimes I was not in a place where I could share.
Yeah. I can't tell you.
Yeah, you go
I just
through,
need this time.
Yeah, you go through so much shame, especially with society and their views of what you should have done or could have done, and it's so complicated, and it's so multifaceted. It's not straightforward. It's not black and white. So there's days where all you can do is shower.
Yeah.
And so we teach our girls, like, let that be enough. If all you can do is get out of bed and brush your teeth, let that be enough. Let that be your win for that day and celebrate that you got out of bed and brushed your teeth.
Yep.
Yeah. Let it. If you haven't showered in 2 days, but you've brushed your teeth, celebrate that.
Yeah.
You've done that.
Yeah.
And then we also celebrate, like, all the small wins. And then boundaries are a huge thing that we teach there too. And I will intentionally push my girls to the limit to teach them the boundary, because I want them to tell me no. I want them to learn, because for so many years we've all been said, hey, you can't say no.
Yeah.
You know, you're told to jump and you're told to ask how high, you know, so we teach them. And so after they've been with us and I start to learn their threshold and kind of learn, because first I need to learn their tics.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn the signs of when they're getting overwhelmed before I start intentionally overwhelming them so that I can stop it before it gets to that point.
Yeah.
Right.
And so once I learn those, it usually takes me about 2 to 4 weeks to figure that out. And once we learn those, then I'll tack on one day in the week a lot of work that I know they're not going to complete. And I know they're going to try.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch for them to start getting flustered and stressed out. And when I see that happening, I'll walk over and say, okay, hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm a little overwhelmed. Okay, well, let's figure this out. And so we'll sit down and we'll move things around and just in teaching them that, one, it's okay to feel. It's okay to show that emotion, and it's okay to express that emotion.
Yeah. And to ask for help when you need help.
yeah, exactly. And so once they get through that, the next stage is where I know that they're overwhelmed and I'll intentionally add more on right there. And so I'll ask them, like, hey, can you do this for me? Yeah, sure. No, you can't.
Right.
Just and so, and that's no. why I like interrupt. And so, yeah, like, say no. Tell me. And I make them physically say, Ashley, I can't. Mm. And just like, it's okay to tell the boss no. It's, and no is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, so, and we teach our kids that too. And we have very outspoken children. And I think it's because I have put, my husband too, we've both put so much effort into making sure that our children are heard when they mm-hmm. speak, and then also teaching them, because there are times to speak and there's times when you just, you know, where you got to speak a little later.
Yeah,
and so right. we've taught our kids, like, hey, if you've got something that's bothering you, but maybe the situation doesn't allow for you to talk, come talk to me, but just tell me, hey, can we talk in private later?
Yeah.
And that tells me that they've got something going on. And if I can make time that moment, we'll stop and we'll walk away and we'll talk about it.
Which is huge. They will take those skills into adulthood
yes.
then and
that's
be able
the point.
To like,
yeah, that's the goal
that. Yeah.
is that like, I don't want my children to grow up and have to spend years in therapy
yes.
because of trauma mm-hmm. or because like a lot of us 90 kids are all in therapy because we were told to suck it up.
Yep.
And now we're all
yep.
struggling and
just
can't
don't
function.
Don't deal with it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah. 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 And I don't want that for my children.
Yeah.
And my husband and I have watched how much he and I have struggled in our adult lives and how much we've had to work together and mm-hmm. individually to overcome those mm-hmm. traumas and end those generational traumas.
Yes.
And then also not repeat our own traumas.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. especially with like domestic violence, you find yourself when you get angry, like my son would actually, when he was angry, would repeat like what was done to him mm. to other people.
Yeah.
And so he actually ended up having some major mental health crises and was ended up in residential care for mm-hmm. over a year.
Wow.
And so it's, but they brought him, like, I wrote to the facility. They were an amazing facility, and they brought my son back to me.
Yeah.
You know, this, the boy that I knew was in there, like, he's such a phenomenal kid. He's just an easy kid, and he's so great, and he's learned so many great Aww. Skills. And it's just, but to see that triumph, and I'm so excited to see what God does through him
mm-hmm.
because he's going to do something big.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, he has special needs, and he's had this huge traumatic story, and just, and he is very outspoken about that's part of his autism because there's no filter.
Yeah.
But he's very outspoken about what he went through and how God has helped him and what
that's
he's done.
Awesome.
And so it's so cool. I cannot wait to see what God does with him.
Yeah, so cool. So I want to back up for a minute
yeah.
to something that you mentioned a few minutes ago, the domestic abuse victims and, mm-hmm. and different people, and honestly, people who have been through very similar other types of trauma situations
yeah.
deal with, is this society pressure and questions yeah. and misunderstanding
mm-hmm.
of how difficult these situations are. And I can relate to some of your story as well. Just from my previous life.
We were at the 10-year anniversary, so I heard
yes,
little bits
yeah.
of your story.
And so I understand even in just a small capacity what that feels like to be questioned from
yeah.
the outside. And I think one of those common questions that you hear a lot of times from the outside is, well, why didn't you just leave?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why didn't you just
yep.
leave? What would you say to somebody maybe who's in that situation mm-hmm. and getting those types of questions? How do you answer that?
I remember when I got those questions first, I felt so ashamed. And actually, one of them was a DSS worker.
Mm-hmm.
I was reporting to her. My son was in the hospital after, and mind you, I had already left at this point, but my ex had gotten to my son, and he was in the hospital, and we were reporting to the DSS. And I asked her, or I was telling her everything, and she cut me off, and she goes, and I was telling her the whole thing from like birth to now.
Yeah.
And she was like, why didn't you get on up there out of there? Why did you put that baby through that?
Oh my gosh.
And I just like, I was so freshly
did, like everything
out of that.
In you and break
it,
in
it
that
did.
Moment.
It did.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I just,
yeah.
I took on the guilt and I took on. And it, luckily there was a police officer beside me because this was happening at the hospital. And he like, I broke down and I hung up and then I told him. So I'm assuming he reported her. I don't know because
yeah.
at that time I didn't have the wherewithal to do that. But just the kindness of that officer is what I needed at that moment. Mm. For people who are going through it, I don't have any real advice because it's so easy to say, just ignore it.
Right.
But it's not.
Yeah.
And at that time, the truth is so buried, you can't see it because you're dealing with the shame and you're dealing with the anger. And then you're also mourning a relationship. Because
right,
even though
yeah.
the relationship wasn't happy, it's not like we get into this like, hey,
yeah.
I want to be abused.
Nobody right.
leads with that red
yeah.
flag that's what's going to happen
right.
to you.
We get into this with forever in mind.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
we have to grieve the loss of the idea of the relationship that we had. And that's how, I guess what I started to do when I first started to speak out, I started to educate the public on how I got into that situation.
Yeah.
I will first tell you, I was not following God.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, my husband and I wholeheartedly believe that if we have both followed God at that time in our lives, as we would have ran into each other because, fun fact, our ships were moored to the same pier at the exact same time.
What?
For
that
2 years.
Gave me like, oh
and we
God.
Never, we never crossed paths. And his, so they're from Northern Virginia. His sister married a guy from my hometown. My hometown has 357 people.
Wow.
So like,
that's
and then.
Wild.
On the weekends, I would go up to my aunt's house, which is in Northern Virginia, 15 minutes from his.
That's
and so
crazy.
Like two, and I don't believe in coincidences. So my right. husband and I wholeheartedly believe that if we had been, because he met his ex-wife around that time too. Mm. And so we wholeheartedly, like if we had truly been seeking God like we thought we were at that time, we probably would have crossed paths.
Yeah.
I think that God orchestrated something there
yeah.
and we missed it. Mm. And I kick myself every day for it because he's such a phenomenal man. But anyway, getting off topic. I don't even remember what I was talking about.
How did yeah. you end up eventually like leaving that situation? How did you end up getting out?
So I actually, it took me 3 times to leave. Mm. And actually the statistics, and I didn't know this till later, but the statistics are that it can take a woman up to seven times
yeah.
before she'll finally leave.
Yep.
And people are like, what was wrong with you? And society is, it's crazy because you fall in love with this person who's very charismatic,
yep.
very charming,
mm-hmm.
you know, the flowers, they love bomb you. They really do. And I was just fresh out of an unstable, abusive home. And so I lapped up at 19 years old, that love and attention that I was getting from this guy that made me feel good. And so it was, I can still remember like looking back when the switch started to flip and you don't notice it. It's done so gradually. And by the time that I finally left him, I had no friends.
Mm-hmm.
My family was out of state and I couldn't leave the state, which is why I was homeless, because then he could have me on kidnapping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like it's so complicated and it's not straightforward. And the few friends that I ended up homeless because of the quote unquote friends that I had at that time, because I did have three who were like, hey, if you leave him, because this was about the time where I started to realize I was in an abusive relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And it was he had hurt my son. And I had taken him to preschool and the preschool had asked me about the bruise and I lied because I was scared and not scared of them.
Right.
I was terrified
right.
of him
yeah.
because CPS had been called on us before and CPS did nothing like they always do.
Yeah.
That's a soapbox that I'll get on and never get off of. It's they didn't help. And so,
you feel kind of hopeless at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah.
Like, how do I even leave?
Yeah,
like,
you feel so alone. And then the third time that I finally left, there was a specific incident that happened. And it was to this day, I'm currently going through EMDR addressing that. And to this day, I still have major anxiety attacks and triggers over that moment. Like even now, I can feel my heart racing. But that moment, I literally threw my kids in the car and I never went back until we had a divorce decree. And I went back with friends that I had made throughout my divorce to go clean and get my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really wild. But when I left, I knew I couldn't go back.
Yeah.
And at that time, I had a lawyer in C. So that was the other part of the anxiety, because once I recognized I was in it and I needed to get out, I went to a lawyer. And she was like, as long as it's safe for you to stay, we needed to collect as much evidence. Because while we were legally married, I had access to all of his
yeah.
stuff.
Gotcha.
And so I was able to collect all of this evidence.
So then you have to stay in this terrifying situation in order to
yeah.
like... make it
yeah.
kind of safer
now, I will
in the
say,
long run.
Like, your lawyer did that. I was like, no, my lawyer was phenomenal because after I would report every little thing to her, and there were several times she's like, no, you need to get out. And I'm like, no, I need to get just one more piece of
right.
evidence. You know? And so it was ultimately, you know, but then this significant event happened and I was like, yep, we're done.
Yeah.
And it was so hard. And there were days where I was hungry and I was tired, but I knew I could not go back.
Right.
Yeah. And it was those little kids. And there was an incident that had happened because after this happened, I texted those three people and I was like, hey, you know, this happened. I need a place to stay, because they had said, hey, if you ever leave, you just call
right.
me. And they wouldn't answer. And so I called them all. They wouldn't answer. And so I started going to their houses and they were all home and they wouldn't answer the door.
Wow.
And so
this is a good reminder. If you tell somebody, if you
yeah,
know somebody
you need
in this
to
situation,
show up.
You need to actually
yeah.
follow through
yeah.
with that.
You need to show up.
That's ridiculous.
Because that hurt deeper than the
yeah.
divorce. It hurt deeper than my marriage and the abuse.
It's another level of that betrayal.
It did.
Right.
And to
that
this
happened.
Day,
yeah.
I don't keep close friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a really bad habit of sabotaging close relationships
yeah.
because the moment someone tells me they love me, I'm like, nope, no, you
You're
don't.
Like,
back
no.
off. And like, I have a really bad habit and I'm working through it. I'm in therapy. but it's just, I don't trust people and I can't.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember one night I had gotten rejected for yet another job and my kids and I we had gone to the food pantry and gotten food. And so the food pantry is great, but they don't give a lot.
Right.
And a lot of it actually has to be cooked. And so when you're homeless, what can you do with that?
Yeah. Right.
And so a lot of like the stuff that I kept was for my kids' lunches. And so because they were in preschool. And so which was great because that gave me the day to kind of like find a job and stuff like
right.
that. And I was still a member of a gym. And so because it was still in my ex-husband's account and I didn't end it. So I was able to like go shower and stuff
yeah.
there. So like there was I fed them their food. They had like peanut butter and jelly. And then I got them in their car seats and strapped. And there was this park that I liked to go to sleep at night because it was quiet and it was hidden away and I felt safe.
Right.
And so I put them in the car seats and got them to sleep. And then I had gone back behind my car because I'd gotten yet another rejection for a job. And I was just so desperate. And I remember that night I hit my knees. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know that you're here. Mm. And I just started to say, help me. And I said, God, help me. God, help me. And that was all I could say.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long I was there. I don't know how long I cried. I know that I fell asleep on the ground because I woke up.
like
if you've ever cried so hard that you're just exhausted, but
mm-hmm.
you still feel like you need to, but you can't because there's no more tears to
right,
cry.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was happening. And I just, but that moment, like, I just felt so much peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, it sounds crazy, but I literally felt like him holding me. And I knew it was going to be okay. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. But I knew it was going to, and it was, because God in that journey brought so many amazing people in my life. Like my chef, that my mentor,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll back up a little bit. So that incident that put my son in the hospital actually ended up with the state going after my ex-husband mm-hmm. for child abuse and neglect and mm-hmm. endangerment. It was all, he had a bunch of federal charges. And so there was a whole court, but I was with my chef when we got the news for that, and they served his warrant and everything. And so he was just so supportive, and so much so that he introduced me into one of his family friends who went to the court dates with me and went to all the appeals with me. And like, just to have that person there
right.
who was just, who didn't judge me
mm-hmm.
and who loved my children
yeah.
and just uplifted them and supported them. And then we got involved too with BACA, which is Bikers Against Child mm-hmm. Abuse. I'm incredibly passionate about that group as well.
Very cool.
They are literally big surly bikers.
And they love kids.
They
and that's
do.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they have 9-to-5s just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But they spend a lot of their time, and they are legitimately licensed to work with traumatized children. And their whole goal is to help reestablish trust between children and adults, and their motto is that no child should live in fear.
Mm.
And it's just, it's amazing. They go to court with you. And when we had our court date, the few friends that I had made were there. I mean, these were people that came at my lowest and worst and loved me there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still talk to them to this day because they love you at your worst.
Yeah.
They love you at your best.
Exactly.
You know, they love me when I had nothing to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably why my chef and I still keep in touch, because he gave the support that I needed. And part of him influenced the flexibility that we have now, because without realizing it, he gave me that job flexibility that I needed.
Right.
There were times that he probably shouldn't have, but he allowed me to bring my
exactly,
kids to work.
Exactly.
And it was like, you know, there was that compassionate level there. And so it was just, but to deal with the public with that, and people are like, oh, why don't you just leave? I'm like, you have no idea how many times I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I did just leave. And there's nothing just about it.
I was going to say, the word just is like
that
the worst word ever.
I hate that word. Because it feels so critical
yes,
and judgmental.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
And it's
like the phrase "at least," and I'm like, that's like
that minimizes
the
what's
either.
Happening.
Especially
yeah.
when you feel like you can't leave. Like, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
I have two little kids. What do you mean, just leave?
Yeah.
I can't leave.
Yeah.
Like,
because leaving meant being homeless,
yeah. right?
And leaving meant not having income because he was financially abusive. He
right.
took all of the money mm-hmm. and allowed me $150 for 2 weeks, and
mm-hmm.
I had to make that last. But I had to pay for my own gas, and I was the one carting the kids everywhere,
right?
And then I had to pay a portion for the kids' school, and then you know. But I had $150, and it was like,
mm-hmm.
it was.
I'm like getting hot over here
yeah,
for you right
so
now.
Like,
oh, okay.
You know, so they're like all these little things that people just don't think about.
Yeah.
And there was nowhere to go. I had no job. I had no credentials. Nothing, because he had taken all of that away.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had led him, but not willingly and unbeknownst to me, because they're so good at doing it. They're so good at doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing for sure.
So now when it comes to the bakery, mm-hmm. you've seen good success of the bakery as well, but you've also gone through some hard times with that in front of your kids as well.
Yeah.
So how do you walk through these difficult times in front of your children from the abuse and then to like the bakery situation and just, I don't know, like model like an authentic relationship with Jesus at the same time? Like that sounds like crazy to me, but I mean, you've done it.
Yeah, I'm just completely transparent.
Yeah.
By nature, I wear my heart on my sleeves. Mm-hmm. I don't hide anything anyway. I couldn't if I wanted to. But I am just incredibly transparent about where we're at mm-hmm. and what God is doing. And so, I think you guys know at one point the bakery was looking at closing this year. And we're not closing anymore.
We're doing really well.
We are doing very well now. And that was just like, you want to talk about God moving. It was incredible to watch him move through that. But just
got to see like a small little part of that outside over here. We were like, oh my God.
It was so cool. And I cannot wait to share it because we're actually in the middle of a rebrand. So our name's staying the same, but our whole image is changing to reflect our mission. And so we're working with a marketing agent, and that's part of God's story where what he did with the bakery. And it's just, I'm so excited. But with that rebrand, we're going to launch like how he worked and what he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But through that, it was just being open with my children, like this is where we're at, but it's okay because God's gonna get it. Because remember XYZ when God did ABC, and you know, and it was so cool because actually recently, a couple weeks ago in July, we were up at my mother-in-law's, and my sister-in-law was mentioning something that she was worried about. My mother-in-law said, you know, that's where you just gotta trust God. And my daughter spoke up. She goes, Mom knows all about that, don't you, Mom?
Aww.
I was like, oh. They're getting it. They're seeing
that is
God.
Like best compliment as like a parent. You're just like, oh my gosh, wow.
It was like, awesome. They're seeing God.
Yes.
And it was just, and I live my life with the purpose of, so also 10 years ago, my great aunt passed away. Mm-hmm. And at her funeral, every person at that pulpit talked about her faith and talked about God. And and that really resonated me at that time in my life. I was like, that's the life I want to live. When I leave this world, I want people to talk about God, not me, because I want them, when they look at me, to see God. I don't want them to look at me. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see God. And I want them to see what he's done and what he is doing and what he's going to do. And then I saw that lived out again when I had a friend pass away unexpectedly last week, and her funeral was this last weekend. And so I went to that, and it was just a beautiful service where they honored her and they talked again about her faith and her love for Christ. And you want to talk about a woman on fire for Jesus. There was, from the moment I first met her, that's what she did. She just loved Jesus just and was open about it, and she was such an inspiration. And that's the kind of life. And so I kind of walk in that no matter what happens, no matter what struggle comes. My thought is, well, if he could bring me out of homelessness and abuse, he's got this. But it took a time. It took a lot of time, and this last year has been a big year of growth, because there was one night where I was faced with a lot of different avenues with the bakery or with closing the bakery and I just didn't know what to do, and I was overwhelmed and I was heartbroken over the over the losing the business and just devastated and angry and all the emotions.
Right.
And I was just in my feelings, and I literally hit my knees one night sobbing, and I was like, God, I don't care what you do. Just do something and tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. If you want me to leave this industry, I'll leave. I don't want to, but I'll go. I'll go where you tell me to go. Just tell me. Tell me what to do. And a week to the day, he had a client placed an order that wiped out our debt. And then the marketing agent found out who we were and what we did and offered his services for a year. And then a financial advisor found out who we are and what we did and offered his services for a few months to help me get finances, all within a week.
That's amazing.
Of like
awesome.
Surrendering.
Yes.
But like that true surrender. And it took that. And like being able to tell my kids that and then walk that out for them. And then my husband too, like I've watched his faith grow. And it's not because of me, but like just in our personal life, because when the bakery's closing, that affects our personal finances too.
Right.
And so being able to point out and saying, look what God did. These numbers don't make sense.
Right, like what happened?
Like, we lost $24,000 last year, but all of our bills were paid on time. And like the numbers don't add up.
It's one of those but God moments.
Yeah.
Like, all
and
this
that's exactly
make sense,
what it is.
But God.
Yeah. And just to be able to point everything back logically, even to God, and be like, he did this. There's no way. Like, you know, no coincidences, right?
Yeah.
God
yes.
did this.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I love that. And I get so excited to talk about what he did and where he's at. And just, and I think that's part of like, because I do different speaking engagements throughout the state sometimes. And well, when I share my story, a lot of it is about my faith and what God is, and just being unafraid to share my faith.
Yeah.
That is who I am. And my faith is out there on my Facebook page. It's out there on my business page. The only thing I don't share is my politics, because I do feel very strongly that business and politics should be separate. But because it just creates a lot of tension that's not necessary. Yes. But my faith is there. And I've had people, well, if you share your faith, what about people that I was like, if they don't want to come to me because I'm a Christian, then that's not the kind of client I want to serve.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's bakeries out there that will serve those clients.
Yeah.
But if you, and I don't care what you believe. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your sexual orientation is.
Right.
I don't care. That's your bout with God, not mine. All I care about is that when you come to my space, you are felt welcomed, accepted, and loved, mm-hmm. that you are feeling the love of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, Jesus sat with sinners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't sit with the Pharisees. Yep. He didn't sit with the people
preach.
Looking good.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you know, he sat with those of us who are broken and who sin. And I tell my daughter, because she's 13, so we're going through that holier-than-thou attitude.
Yeah,
it's great.
We will be praying for you.
Yes, please do. And so my husband and I have had to pray a lot about, like, just guidance with her. And I had a conversation with her recently, like, kiddo, I said, because she's on this kick right now where she's like, oh, they're not Christian. I'm like, well, how do you know?
Yeah,
you don't
know
the relationship with God. And so I've had to remind her of the scripture, like, sweetheart, Jesus said that let the one without sin be the first to throw the stone. I
said,
you're casting stones you have no business to cast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, because your judgment is just as big of a sin as you've deemed them to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's not okay. And just like teaching her that and then holding them accountable too.
Yeah.
And just holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
Like going back when I screw up with my kids or when I display the wrong behavior, when I get angry and let anger take control, mm-hmm. it's going back and apologizing and say, I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't okay. And in our house, we don't allow the kids when someone apologizes to say it's okay, because it's not okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We say, thank you for apologizing.
Yeah.
And then
that's
from
good.
There, you can add whatever you want. You know, thank you for apologizing. Give me some time. I want to talk to you more later once I calm down.
Right.
Or thank you for apologizing. I forgive you. And just, but, and then that's the other thing is giving grace, because, and apologizing without the expectation of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my daughter is learning that right now and just teaching her how to give grace and how to pray, because she was hurt pretty deeply by a couple of friends and they want to be friends again. And she's like, Mom, I want to be friends. She goes, but I don't trust them. I was like, and that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yep.
You don't have to.
Sometimes is a minute by minute, day by day thing.
And that's what I told her. I was like, just pray for them, pray over you, ask God to help you heal and ask God to reveal to you who he wants in your life.
Yeah.
Because who we want and who he wants are two different things. My ex and my current.
I wish I had this when I was like younger. Not that my parents weren't like believers. And, like I grew up in a great household, but like.
But we did grow up in a different era of.
Right.
Like you said earlier.
Really, like, they wanted you to have good friends that did like, they weren't like leading you down like bad paths, but it wasn't like, you know, pray about who God wants in your life kind of thing. And like, I wish I had done that when I was that age, because there's so many situations that I probably could have saved myself from, or that God could have saved me from if I just let him.
And I mean, it's just, and then being involved with your kids' lives too. Like this might upset a lot of parents, but they'll get over it because it's my kids. I'm very direct. But I intentionally, without my children's knowledge, go through their rooms. How can I know what my children are up to if I'm not in there? Mm-hmm. And so I'll go through their diaries. Now, I don't read them page by page, but I'm scanning, looking for the keywords like drugs or you know, just terrible things.
Yeah.
But like all I see in my daughter's journal are prayers.
Yeah.
Prayers for this person, prayers for that person, prayer for me, prayer for her siblings, prayers for her stepdad, prayers for her father. And so it just warms my heart, and it's encouraging. So it's like, okay, just live openly, honestly, and because, you know, walking with God, and he even promises it's not going to be pretty.
Nope.
It's not going to be easy.
Nope.
He promises persecution, and persecution looks differently.
Yeah.
You know, persecution doesn't always look like we're standing in the center of a crowd being stoned.
Right.
Persecution is different, and it just looks differently. And then being able to teach those around me, not teach, show those around me what joy is, because that's what that's something that God really taught me. When my son was taken to the emergency room and then put into residential like immediately, I was devastated. And so many mixed emotions with relief, but devastation and guilt and shame and anger and relief and like all of the things.
All of it.
And so at that time, I had discovered there's a song that's called Hallelujah by Brandon Lake. That song, I had that song on repeat, and then the song Flowers. I've been following Samantha Ebert for years on Instagram. And so when the moment that song, I was like, download. And so I had those two songs on repeat during that time.
Yeah.
And it just showed me that, it reminded me that even in the darkest part, it was good to praise, and it was okay to praise, and God was there. And then I learned what praise was, because growing up in an agnostic home, I thought praise was like, ah, hallelujah, you know, hands up and,
right,
and smiling.
Right.
And but this was a real lesson of like, and then just looking back, like praising him that night when I was on my knees saying, God, help me. Mm-hmm. That was a form of praise. Yeah. Turning to him and trusting him and knowing he was there and asking him to help. That was praising.
Yeah.
And so teaching my children the same thing. Like, this is, yeah, this sucks right now, guys. And we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But we know that God's got it.
Yeah.
And so, and when he has it, it's so exciting. Like, hey, you'll never guess what God did. And it's just, and just to celebrate that with your children is such a sweet and intimate moment to have with them.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. That's, but yeah, that's kind of how I walk through it. It's just,
yeah,
this is what you get.
Being transparent is so huge, for sure.
Well, we've said it before. If more people lived life that way,
yeah,
I think
so
we'd
much
be
easier.
Overall less problems than we are experiencing in life.
Well, and it's hard to stop caring what people think of you.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that when I went through my divorce, that actually changed me at my core. The Enneagram test, my Enneagram went from it was like a 3. I'm a 98% 1.
Yeah.
So it changed completely. But I figured out who I was and what I wanted. And so, and I'm not afraid of that anymore. And I'm not. Yeah. And I had these clear set boundaries of this is who I am. But like I'm teaching my daughter right now, you can say this is who I am,
and
but don't set it in stone, because God might change something.
Yeah,
and some parts of us aren't always okay.
Yeah,
you know, I used to be really bad about judging, and even to now, like I'm sure I'll catch one, like, oh nope, that's not okay to do. And it's so easy to do, but just living, being honest with yourself, being honest in your walk, and with those around you, and just learning how to do it, because. I'm blunt, so I'm learning how to be...
Tactful.
Yes, because I'm not very tactful. But that's just because I'm very comfortable in my crowd.
Right,
yeah, exactly. Because I keep a very close and very select crowd.
Makes sense.
People that will allow me to be who I am, flaws and all.
Yeah.
I can show up with no makeup on, in PJs, hair a mess, and just be...
People.
Yeah, they're my favorite people. The people that fill me, and I can fill them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are, and then teaching your children that too, and teaching the people in your life, teaching the girls and my staff right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like what things to watch for.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll report like, oh, so-and-so did this day. And I'm like,
might be a red flag.
You know? And that's what I tell them, like, just be careful. And I don't want to tell them no, because they're just going to run towards it.
Right.
So I'll just like say, hey, like, just be careful. Watch about it. Watch it. And that's the other thing, is like walking this out with God so openly has been so cool to see how it affects my staff.
I have watching them. We have some of them
that are faith that know God, and some of them that aren't religious at all. But then recently with the bakery being literally saved and just a 180 in just a few months, the last thing that had happened, my one person that's not religious, she goes, man, God is good. And I was like, yes, God.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's such an
amazing
moment.
And it's just, and then yesterday she was talking about church, and I was like,
And just
to see how God works and how he moves in every little thing. Like, this is why Romans 8:28 is it's the company's verse, and it is my life verse, because he really will take even my worst mistakes and make something absolutely incredibly beautiful about it that I can't even wrap my head around. Yeah.
Well, we are so excited for you. We're so excited for the rebrand. Yeah. And we're excited to announce that we are going to bring back Tuesday Treats, which was formerly Coffee Connection.
Yes.
But we're going to call it Tuesday Treats. And we're going to start going to businesses again once a month with Ashley's amazing treats from the bakery.
I'm so excited.
We're so excited. Thank you so much
for
being here and for being so open with your story. Absolutely. We so appreciate it.
And just a reminder to you as well, if you are in a situation right now that is similar to what Ashley has already talked about and you need some help, don't be afraid to reach out. The domestic abuse hotline number, 1-800-799-SAFE. Those last four numbers are 7233. There is help and people that would love to walk with you along that journey too.
I know it seems really dark and you might seem like there's no way out, but there is a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, maybe if there's not anybody in your corner now, God will bring you people who will be there. So just take the leap of faith. And it is a leap of faith, and it is the hardest thing you will ever do. But it is the most rewarding thing you will ever do. And you deserve more, and you deserve better than what you've got.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.